The Origin of Race and Civilization by Charles Weissman. Read for you by Paul Maitrigine. This is a free TearingDownIdols.com audiobook. Reproduction and redistribution are encouraged. For more free reading and listening material, please visit TearingDownIdols.com. Chapter 6. Conclusions and Problems. The False Conflict. The more one studies the origin of race, civilization, or any other controversial subject, the more it is revealed that the key to the origin and nature of them lies in the word and works of God. It is also revealed that a great deal of unnecessary and apparently intentional confusion has developed over such matters, especially concerning the origin of race. We must be in tune with our observations. We then realize that all such conflicts that exist are conflicts between the ideologies, principles of law, ethics, and religious tenets of two races. The two antagonists are God's chosen race and a race which was cursed or rejected by God. "And I will put enmity between thee," the serpent, "and the woman," Eve, "and between thy seed and her seed." Genesis 3, verse 15. "And the children, Esau and Jacob, struggled together within her," Rebekah. "And the Lord said unto her, Two nations," or races, "are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels." Genesis 25, verse 22. These verses from Genesis describe the origins of a racial conflict, an age-long conflict which persists today and which forms the basis of Mystery Babylon of Revelation. One race, the white race, has predominantly upheld or followed the ways of God, the other race, the red Edomite Jews, the ways of man. This is the real conflict. Both evolutionism and creationism have been influenced and controlled by Jews to serve as a false conflict to conceal the facts regarding race. We have been led to believe that there are sharply diverse and conflicting viewpoints between these two major concepts on origins. A close examination of evolutionism and creationism shows that they both teach many of the same principles in regards to race, species, and genetics. For instance, both theories teach the following ideas. They both state that all races are of a common origin. They both assert that the various races are the result of environment, climatic influences, and group isolation. They both acknowledge the principle of speciation, that one species or kind can produce others. They both believe that early man possessed a wide variety of genetic traits, allowing for the diversity of races. There thus are only minor variations in races today. They both deny that God created the individual races. They both claim there is no such thing as a pure race, since gene flow can and has occurred between all types. There are other areas in which these two supposedly opposite concepts agree, yet they always agree for one and the same reason, to convey the idea that all races are the same. Race is the one issue that must at all costs be covered up. Thus, it does not matter which theory one adopts, for he will be equally conditioned to think of the races as being physically and biologically the same due to their unity of origin. The belief persists despite the historical, biblical, and scientific evidence to the contrary. The issues debated between evolutionism and creationism are just superficial and are intended to be so in order to keep people's attention focused on the contrived conflict between science and the scriptures. Scientists and religious leaders should be advised to heed the words of Dr. Knott. "Man can invent nothing in science or religion but falsehood, and all the truths which he discovers are but fact or laws which have emanated from the Creator. All science, therefore, may be regarded as a revelation from him, and although newly discovered laws or facts in nature may conflict with religious errors which have been written and preached for centuries, they never can conflict with the religious truth. There must be harmony between the works and the words of the Almighty, and wherever they seem to conflict, the discord has been produced by the ignorance or wickedness of man. Footnote, J.C. Nott, Types of Mankind, 1854, page 61, and footnote. Social and political problems. Social ideals and political policies during the 20th century have been intentionally influenced and directed by various socialist Jews espousing a non-biblical and non-American equalitarian doctrine. Professor Hankins has stated the following regarding this biased doctrine on race. It seems possible to say that there is no respect whatever in which the white and Negro are equal, physically, intellectually, or emotionally. It may seem strange that this point has needed argumentation, but there is a considerable school of opinion, frequently referred to in academic circles as the Boas School, which has succeeded in conveying the impression that it believes the race is equal in inherited capacities. Footnote. F. Hankins, The Racial Basis of Civilization, 1936, page 323. Franz Boas was a German Jew with a conceded socialist background. End footnote. This interpretation of racial equality was allegedly derived from Boas's The Mind of Primitive Man in 1911. This would tell us that prior to this time, there was no formal or established doctrine of racial equality in scientific circles. The promoters of this new doctrine were not the scientific-minded writers as before, but were social anthropologists, a pseudoscience established for the purpose of disseminating views on race. The promoters of the Boas School of racial equality were predominantly Jews. The first generation of these Jewish sociologists included Isidore Chain, Otto Kleinberg, Melville Herkovitz, Ashley Montagu, Jean Waltfish, Max Gluckman, Claude Levi Strauss, and many others. Their racial policies were an intricate part of the new wave of socialism, which East European Jews were spreading through Christian civilizations. Since the 1930s, there has existed an almost worldwide movement intended to foster belief in the equality of all human races. From the beginning of the 30s onwards, scarcely anyone outside Germany and its allies dared to suggest that any race might be in any respect or in any sense superior to any other, lest it should appear that the author was supporting or excusing the Nazi cause. Those who believed in the equality of all races were free to write what they liked, without fear of contradiction. Footnote, John R. Baker, Race, 1974, page 61, and footnote. Through Roosevelt's New Deal program of the 1930s, under the direction of his Jewish aide Henry Morgenthau, a revolutionary change in America's social and political climate developed. Perhaps no portion of America's legal foundation has been more distorted than the phrase from the Declaration of Independence, "All men are created equal." What rational mind could possibly believe that the intelligent men who acknowledged this statement with their signatures held its meaning in a physical and biological sense, as it is taught today? Are all men of the same height, the same strength, born with the same abilities or talents? The Declaration stipulates that men are born with certain unalienable rights, which does not infer any racial or biological equality. And as Chief Justice Taney declared, "It is too clear for dispute that the enslaved African race were not intended to be included and formed no part of the people who framed and adopted this declaration." Footnote, Dred Scott v. Sanford, 1856, and footnote. Many of the Jewish sociologists later became the planners and contributors to UNESCO, which in 1949-50 assembled a panel of social anthropologists to discredit racial doctrines in modern politics and to draw up a general statement on the nature of race as it is understood today. Footnote, William Howells, Mankind in the Making, 1959, page 268, and footnote. In spite of consistent efforts to equalize the social and political objective conditions, inequalities of individual abilities and achievements of the races were as great as before. Even with all the equalitarian indoctrination in our schools, churches, and media, most whites, when looking at a pygmy or Tasmanian, acknowledge that these races are not of the same origin or physically the same as themselves. They may never say it openly, but deep down, they know it to be true. Some of the greatest distortions in society's thinking on the origin of race and civilization are due to changes in the educational system. The Bible and prayer have been removed, and evolution and atheism have been put in their places. As a result, we now have communist indoctrination in American public schools. Both Soviet and American schools now teach the same thing regarding the origins of man and race, that all races stand at the same level of physical organization, and that the level of a people's culture has nothing to do with racial composition. This is from a book on Soviet anthropology, which concludes by stating, "The equality of races and nations is one of the most important elements of the moral strength and might of the Soviet state. Soviet anthropology develops the one correct concept that all the races of mankind are biologically equal. The genuinely materialist conception of the origin of man and of races serves the struggle against racism, against all idealist, mystic conceptions of man, his past, present, and future." Footnote: Mikhail Nesterk, The Origin of Man, Moscow, 1959, page 327. End footnote. Today, we have this same Soviet anthropology being taught in our schools under the guise of social anthropology. Both are a materialist conception, and both are derived from one group of people, the Ashkenazi Jews, Esau, Edom, for the purpose of deceiving one particular race of people, the white race, Jacob Israel. The white race is the one race above all that must be deceived by Edom, for it is they whom God has chosen, as testified by prophecy and history. It is they who were builders of all the great civilizations, as testified by the monuments and history. And it is they who, through their inventiveness, have been a blessing to all other nations. Christian civilization has been greatly deceived by the Jewish-influenced religion called Judeo-Christianity, as was prophesied by Christ, Matthew 24, verses 4 through 5. The only way Christians will adopt non-biblical or anti-Christian concepts, such as interracial marriage or the total equality of all races, is under the guise of Christianity. Communism, like Judeo-Christianity, is a brainchild of Jews designed to eradicate all natural distinctions. The Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx clearly details the need for abolishing distinctions between town and country, social classes, nations, races, sexes, etc. This entire plan requires all people of the world to be one, just as they were in the building of the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. One single mass is more easily controlled than numerous distinct entities. This unity is necessary to fulfill the Jewish plan of world control via one world government. The greatest distinction that opposes this plan is the distinction of the races of man. To keep such pronounced distinction suppressed, the Jew has infiltrated Christian seminaries where he promotes the doctrines of creationism. At the same time, the Jewish Rockefeller Foundation finances archaeological expeditions which will unearth more evidence on evolutionism. Both theories achieve the same ends in abolishing distinction of races, as both assert that the races of man are one, i.e., of one common origin. Racial distinctions are a result of distinct creations, which is the reason God ordained the biblical principle of segregation. But wherever we find biblical principles established, there we will also find the twisted mentality of the Jew rearing its ugly head in opposition. Most people will adopt this thinking and never object to it, for fear of the Jews. John 7, verse 13. Man is easily persuaded by his emotions, and truth cannot be obtained if we rely upon them or the philosophies of men. A study of our origins demands that we always inquire as to the intent and plans of our Creator. We now know that when the inequalities and inborn differences which God has provided each race are suppressed by the unity or brotherhood of man nonsense, we are in grave danger.